Somebody said the other day, oh, yes, we used to go to C.R. Anthony's to buy all our jeans. Was that a conscious decision to be kind of the jean capital of the area, or how did that develop?
I think it was just playing to our strength. We have many people that their memory is back to school. Now, for almost all retailers, holiday or Christmas is a big sales period. Back to school for our company was about equal to it. If I can go back just a little bit, since I have some of these numbers in front of me. Of course, the company started in 22. In 1925, the grand total for all the stores exceeded $1 million. The next year, 26, it was over $2 million. Next year, in 27, it got to $3 million. By the end of 29, it was close to $4 million. But then things turned around with the Depression. So then it slipped almost 25%. By 1930, it was down back to in the 2 millions for 31 and 32. The adjustment during the Depression years was phenomenal. There were stores that were closed, but the company did survive, and it was stronger after that period of time.
During this time then, C.R. Anthony was a wealthy man. I mean, did he live a style of wealth? Could people see his wealth, maybe his home, his cars? Did he try to display it personally?
I think that some in the family, including me, fancied that we were paper rich and cash poor. I worked all one summer when I was 16 years old, and because I was living at home, I didn't have to pay rent or something, and I took my entire earnings and went to see my grandfather and told him I wanted to buy stock. Well, our stock was, as we discussed earlier, closely held, and it was not publicly traded. Now, eventually we got so many shareholders, we had to have registration with the Securities and Exchange Commission. So we got the worst of that world where you have to do all that paperwork. I think that C.R. Anthony, first of all, he was a lifelong Democrat. He was on the side of the people, and he was on the side of the working people. I think a lot of the respect and dedication that he received from so many of the employees was because of that. I don't think that he had a lavish lifestyle given the success that they were experiencing. Some of the resources that were developed were put back into the business. This is extremely important. C.R. Anthony had a philosophy against debt. Most people don't know that he failed in business twice before he started the C.R. Anthony stores. Now, if he was born in 1884, that's 16 years left in that century, and the first store started in 22, that's 38. So he's about age 38 when he started C.R. Anthony stores. With life expectancies in those days, I mean, he was getting on. He had a little general store of his own. He sold on credit. And the rains didn't come, and the crops didn't come in, and he got out of that just barely breaking even, an experience that impacted him for the rest of his life. He had a furniture store on, I think, Okmulgee Avenue in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and that did not succeed either. But he learned from that, and he learned from Mr. Martin, and he learned from J.C. Penney. And so then, when he was about age 38, he went forward. But for darn sure, he was not going to sell on credit. Zero credit. It was called cash and carry. Now, another part of that philosophy is he didn't like banks. He didn't like borrowing money. He liked to loan money to the banks. That's called savings. When you ask, did he have a lavish lifestyle, to have the growth of the company financed, the financial resources or the wealth that he might have accrued went into building the company. My dad used to use the expression, we're playing with our own chips. We would open 5 or 10 or 20 or 25 stores in a year in the 70s and early 80s when I became president. We would do remodels and expansions and relocations and new stores. We were playing with our own chips. We didn't borrow any money to do that. That was retained earnings. I do know that he drove a Cadillac car at one time, because that impressed me when I was probably 6 years old. But I think that he identified with Depression-era people, and frankly, my heritage and my immediate family didn't want to be showy about it. I guess I could have been more so. Even my four daughters that my wife and I had an old car that I had all of them have through high school. They weren't going to have a new car to drive around, because that just wasn't the way we would do it. I know that some of the girls in their class called us the Flintstones because we were one of the last ones to get cable TV and some other things. Although it's probably a mixed story. I know that Mr. Brown of the Coca-Cola company family here in Oklahoma talked him into getting a joint ownership in some kind of yacht that was in the Gulf of Mexico, but the storm sank it and he refused to go back and get more, I think. I know that they had a place in Colorado in those days when there was no air conditioning in the heat of the summer. It was a good place to go. So certainly they were able to enjoy life, but I don't think the family was very showy in the way they went about it.